Hello, welcome to the Hopecast, where we hear about normal people following Jesus in the 21st century. Join me and guests in conversations on how to do daily life with struggles that come, the hope we find in Jesus, plus anything in between. Come on in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Hopecast. I hope you're all having a wonderful week. Today, I'm very excited again because I've got two people from my home church, which is very exciting. I've got Ben and Dave. Ben, do you want to say a hi to the people first? I don't know, introduce yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I'm Ben. I obviously, like Hope just said, I go to Crown Church. I work for my dad's company, which is more or less a services company, predominantly window cleaning. Also moved out mid-year last year out of home, but now I'm back home.
Which will all become apparent of why we're talking about this very short.
Yes, indeed.
We got Dave back again. I don't know if you remember him from, we actually had two podcasts together. Well, I split them up. But yes, Dave, if you want to say anything else about yourself, maybe people don't know you already. So yeah.
Yeah, we had a productive evening, two podcasts in one recording. It was fun. And go back and listen to it. If you're hearing this, you're like, oh, I wonder if it was a good podcast. Then it was. Learning to Hear from God. It was a classic.
Yes.
But my name's Dave. I am 28. I'm a project manager in local government. I'm originally from Newcastle, but now I live down to the west of London. And like Ben and Hope, when she's back at home, go to Crown Church in Hillingdon.
Woop woop, shout out to Crown. So yeah, I'll ask you some fun questions. So first thing is, if COVID suddenly stopped, what is the first thing you would do?
Holiday. I'd jump on a plane, go on holiday.
I'm with Ben. I think I'd be straight skiing.
But I was planning to book in February, but just didn't happen.
Yes, like many of our plans. Such a shame.
Oh no.
We'll get there.
And since today's podcast is about discipleship and stuff, what is your favorite thing about church community?
I think once you get to a place with a group of people where you genuinely can be honest, or even with one person where you genuinely can be honest and, you know, express what you're struggling with or how you feel, that is a really good feeling, a good place to be at. I don't know, I went serious really quick, I didn't mean to.
No, I totally agree. Yeah.
I just think it's a good place to be in when you can just genuinely be honest with somebody. And sometimes it takes a while to get to that point, but sometimes it can take, you know, whether they're discipling you or just a mate, you know, in church. So you're both chasing holiness, but we live in a world that's fallen. So we struggle. So that's love, authenticity.
Yeah, relationship. I like that.
I think I agree with Ben, and I think that I was going to say the best thing about church community is when it's on, because let's be honest.
That's a good point.
At the moment, it isn't there, and I think all of us are experiencing a certain sense of loss, loss of family and loss of connection, loss of relationship, because we are segregated or we're, you know, away from each other. And yeah, don't get me wrong, Zoom is great and all the rest of it, but it isn't the same. It isn't the same as meeting someone in person.
Only to a certain extent.
Sitting down to chat or sitting down for a meal or just doing something as a family, as a community of people. I think we're all really, really missing it, and we'll value it so much more when we go back to it.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait to like get back in a room full of people and be singing and be able to hug people. That's going to be a very good time. Yes, as I mentioned, today's topic is about discipleship, kind of what is discipleship, kind of introducing it, and yeah, what does discipleship look like? It obviously comes in many shapes and forms, and every person is different, so every relationship of discipleship will be different. But we're just going to talk a bit about what we want it to look like, what's helpful about it, what we wish we had, and all that stuff. So just, yeah, that's what we're going to be on about. So first I just wanted to start off with like do you guys have your own definitions of what discipleship is, and maybe what we see in the Bible, and then what today's discipleship looks like?
And so the word disciple comes from, I don't know if you know this, from the Latin discipulus. Okay. And then that pulls out of a Greek word in the New Testament, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this properly, but I think it's mathetes. Okay. Let's focus on discipulus for a minute, because that's obviously where we get disciple from. Mm. And it's exactly the same language that would be used to describe a pupil at school. Okay, so a discipulus, a disciple, a person would be like someone sat at a desk in a classroom being taught by a teacher. And so I think it gives a really interesting frame. We can make discipleship some kind of big hocus-pocus mystery topic. But at the most basic level, it's just a student. It's just someone who's learning. Hope, you're a student at Glasgow Uni.
I am.
You're a disciple of the University of Glasgow. It helps us to think about, well, as disciples or as students, what are we learning? What is it that we're supposed to be learning in this adventure with Jesus, as I think the Bible's very clear on?
We can sort of not want to like learn from, or sometimes young people in my age group don't want to learn from people, you know, older than us, and we think we know it all. It's a certain age. I mean, you get to a certain age where like, okay, yeah, people know better than I do. But like, if you're younger, then it's like, you know, I know best, this, that, and the other. And I think I reached a point where I was like, I need someone to disciple me who's my age. I need someone who's like can understand the starting points where I'm at. Mm. Whereas I spoke to somebody, a guy called Matthew Boyer, who's a great guy, and you know, he discipled me for a period, and we still chat and stuff. And he said, you know what, there's something in when you sort of speak to somebody of an age where they've experienced God and they've experienced life more than you, and just soaking in their wisdom and just listening to them. So it's a period of time where you know you don't even need to, like, I know this is just a small portion of discipleship, it's not the whole package, but it's just listening to them and seeing what wisdom they have and just taking that on board.
Yeah.
And because I know I was at a period where I just wanted someone who could understand where I was coming from, but you know, you need that wisdom from your elders and older people who've experienced a lot more.
Exactly. And like, I think when we talk about discipleship right now, we have two kinds of overlapping terms of like, we have the initial, like, go and make disciples of all nations, like baptizing them and all that stuff that Jesus sent us, like the Great Commission. And that's kind of like finding people who you need to like tell them the gospel and like encourage them in the faith in that. And then we also have like a lot of like Paul's letters and stuff of him just talking to people about kind of the sanctification journey, I guess, of like, okay, now that you're actually following Jesus, what does it look like to pursue that on the day to day? We have like certain definitions in the Bible, but everyone will experience it differently, just because of not everyone might have access to someone to always be there alongside them, like in the day to day or whatever. Okay, I guess you could start with you, Ben, how you initially saw discipleship and maybe how it's changed a bit now, being discipled by, I guess, a few people, Dave, right now.
I didn't actually think about it. Somebody in Crown approached my parents, because I was young, approached my parents, and they said, is it okay if I, you know, disciple Ben? I asked my mum, and she was like, yeah, I mean, go for it. And she asked me, and I was like, yeah, okay. And then they sort of, I guess we met up, and he discipled me, and I didn't at the time know what it meant. Even I obviously knew what was going on, but I didn't know exactly what the intention was or anything like that, which I thought was okay. You know, even if you're 10 or you're 40 or whatever, and you don't know what discipleship is, that's okay. Well, as we continued to meet up, it was like, okay, this is somewhere where I can be myself. I can learn, which is, I think, key, off of them. And for example, the podcast that you did with Dave about learning to hear God's voice, you can, you know, talk about different topics as you carry on. But I think, in essence, discipleship sort of, it started with just meeting up with somebody, just talking, learning about God. And then I realized that, you know, this is somewhere where you can just be honest with somebody and they can help you through life.
I get what you mean of like, initially you might not actually know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're first getting discipled, then you're probably like, might be young.
Yeah, especially because I was young, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I wish someone approached me when I was super young and did that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think if we flip the language back to the one of being a student, I think initially, perhaps when I was a very new Christian in my teenage years, I thought it was kind of learning the things of, and I'm going to do inverted commas, which is not helpful on a podcast, but learning the things of being a Christian or of religion by like making sure you read your Bible and praying and making sure you go to church. And it was kind of like learning the stuff, but it was almost quite dry. In a way that, so, you know, my favorite subject at school was always geography. And there's two ways of learning geography. There's one way where you sit in the classroom and you learn the really dry stuff because someone's given you a book and shown on a whiteboard. Or you can go climb a mountain and look at some really cool stuff and learn about it when you're out there.
Yeah.
And I think that probably shows the journey that I went on. That to start with, it was all the very dry classroom-based theory. And at times, I'll be honest, the Bible or even prayer or even going to church can feel a bit dry and it can feel a bit religious. But I think the journey I went on when I went with other people was I saw how they lived out the sometimes dry stuff. And that's when it became interesting. How did what they had as a core belief in Jesus, how did that impact their day to day? How do they live their lives? How do they have conversations with people? How do they make decisions, big life decisions? I think I realized that being a student of that, being a student of the dry stuff, it was the real meaty, like, how do I do this in the day to day? So that's probably been my kind of journey with it, and still is ongoing, I think, my journey with it.
And I think what you said is exactly right, of like seeing people live out their life is so much better than someone just telling you should read this chapter of the Bible now. Yeah, because I guess that is what all Christian life is fleshing out what you say you believe, I guess, and just really practicing that. Some of the, you could maybe, just for someone who hasn't experienced discipleship or mentoring or whatever, or being a student or someone, what are like the spiritual growth benefits that you've seen in your own lives, or just like that you found really helpful?
The call in the Great Commission, Hope, that you referred to earlier about Jesus saying, go out and make disciples, because he's saying, go out and do the same thing that he did. So you look in scripture and you think, well, how did he make disciples? And you see this band of brothers, these 12 guys that went on a journey with Jesus, and they learned from him. They walked with him. They talked with him. They, you know, they did this journey of 3 years, did ministry with him, and they grew in that sense. So we know that the walk of the Christian life is to follow Jesus in the same way. Now, we can't follow him in the same way that they did, because he was incarnate, he was on earth, as opposed to now he was seated in heaven. So we can't directly follow him in the way that he, but the call is still to follow him. And I think the joy of then being discipled is you are just following in, you're always following Jesus, but in part you're also following a person that you admire and you think is following Jesus in a way that you'd like to emulate, you'd like to copy.
Yeah.
So I think for a lot of the really good godly habits that I've picked up, and there are some, there's definitely not across the board. They've been learned, I believe, from Jesus and following the ways that he would be, but really it's been copied off somebody else. You know, let's take, for example, reading the Bible every morning. I used to think that was the most boring thing in the world until I had a really good friend at university, another guy called Dave, who sat with me and took me through it and showed me the benefit and showed me how to hear from God through the scriptures. All of a sudden it became so much more interesting.
Yeah.
Because I was with a guy who was doing it and he loved it. And then all of a sudden I was doing it and I loved it. We can see in scripture the model of Jesus doing it himself, him reflecting on scriptures and spending time to pray in the mornings with the Father. It wasn't really Jesus that I learned it off. It was my mate Dave, who was following Jesus in a way that was just so authentic and real.
That's really cool.
For me, it hit a point where when I was meeting up with a few of Dave's friends and Dave, you begin to pick up their habits and how they do things. For example, just listening to God and hearing God, rather than trying to do, because we don't get anywhere by just doing, as in like we have to take things on, listen to God, read scripture, right? Just different times, and we just listen to God and heard what he was saying, or prophecies or words or whatever. And that definitely was a change for me, because I'd never really pressed into that before. I'd never really focused on that before. Obviously you had all the Bible reading, the scriptures, but when you use that to listen to God, I think it changes things. And that's for me personally. And it was fun, you know, like Dave just said, you know, sometimes it can seem boring.
Yeah.
But it was fun and enjoyable. And it was all about God and giving God the glory as well.
I mean, I think I've had a bit of a different experience to you, Ben, of like my church before was just quite a different structure crowd. And that, like most of the Christians I know, I would say they haven't been discipled by a person necessarily going to like pour into them continually. So I do think it's so valuable to hear like when people have someone who cares about them, and like, yeah, they're like just hearing that, sitting around and being able to practice that and like have the space of like a bit of vulnerability to maybe get stuff wrong as well, and be able to like learn that together is so, so good. Do you guys have any ideas of why? I mean, I have some ideas, and maybe I'll just focus on like the UK church right now, but why people might shy away from discipleship, going and asking someone to like disciple them, or like just not necessarily making it official, but being able to pour into someone else's life who's a bit younger in their faith, or even the other way around of like wanting to be a disciple. What do you think holds people back from doing either of those?
When you asked me that question, I initially thought it's hard to be open, and it's hard to pour out to somebody with so much to live up to in the world in terms of social media, the standards that your idols as such, or people that you look up to who aren't Christians, how they behave and how they say you should be. And when you first come to church, or when you think about discipleship and you think, oh no, I can't do that, it's because it's hard to be open and it's hard to be honest with others. And I struggle with it. I'm sure Dave does and you do. It's just hard to be real with somebody and just say, I'm struggling with this. And I think that's why someone might shy away with immediate thought when you think about discipleship.
For sure. And like, if I can just bounce off that quickly, it's like, relationships are hard. In general, just being part, if you're part of a church and you've never like kind of been rubbed up the wrong way, or been a bit annoyed at someone, or had to like make sure you're forgiving someone in your heart, then you're probably not you're not being part of the church. Because like relationships are difficult to navigate, Christian or not. We are like faulty people, and we're gonna annoy one another, we're gonna hurt one another's feelings probably. I'm probably gonna have to choose to trust people a lot. So yeah, I definitely agree, like it is difficult to be vulnerable with people. And even like what you were saying about, even if it's not necessarily so personal of like vulnerability, but if it's even more like learning to read the Bible, or learning how to read the Bible for yourself, or listening to God, like even those things, you can kind of try to live up to certain standards, because you're kind of like, oh, they must want me to like read all these chapters a day. And it can be like a bit difficult to say, actually, I don't think I can read that much of my Bible. I don't think, I haven't done this, you know? So I definitely agree of like, it's vulnerability in both ways of just learning. Just like a student, I guess, like sometimes you feel a bit embarrassed or like you can't do something, and you got to just be like pushed along. So definitely. But yeah, go ahead, Dave. What do you think?
I think on that, I think because it's hard, it takes time. Time is the thing that everybody seems to lack. I think Ben said right at the start, it's when you know somebody deeply enough that you can be completely open with them and honest without fear of them saying anything or fear of them judging you or anything like that. And that simply takes time.
Yep.
You know, this is just a pre-warning. I don't believe this is written anywhere in the Gospels, but Jesus, when he first called his disciples, you can imagine they didn't get on like a house on fire immediately. It had taken time. They'd have had a few meals and a few days and a few, you what, mate? You're the Son of God, you know, or whatever the conversation. You know. And I think we get an idea of those. But I think one of the reasons why, unfortunately, so many Christians haven't experienced that is because either they're really busy and they don't necessarily prioritize it, or you know, either or the people who would be meeting up with them, or you know, people within the chain somewhere, are just have really full lives.
Yeah.
And so I guess the question would be, you know, if Jesus' key commandment is to go and make disciples, where are we prioritizing in our diaries the time to simply spend with people? You know, that quality time that Ben was referring to, just hanging out, chatting life, asking questions, having meals, and interweaving big questions about faith and life in between. You know, where is the capacity in our diaries to be doing that? I think there's a challenge to all of us. If it's not, we don't have capacity for it, what are we doing?
Mm.
What are we doing with our time?
Yeah.
You know, and are there things we need to cut out in order to be able to make time for it?
Yeah. I've recently, over time of the last 2 years, I've got in a relationship myself, and it's interesting you say time, right? Because I obviously spend the most time with my girlfriend, especially during lockdown, right? Because I haven't seen anyone else, and we've tried to make it work in so that I can see her bubbling and, you know, staying with each other's families or whatever. Mm. And in that time, we've spent a lot of time, like Dave said, together. Mm. So we've found that space and just talking, and we can be honest because obviously we've spent a lot of time together. So I think it's definitely a key point. I'm just saying off the back of what Dave said, because of you spend, or as you continue to spend more time with somebody, you can become, or you can enable yourself to be more honest and to just to feel like they're your mate, or you're not being judged or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying off that, of an experience. You know, my girlfriend's Christian, we talk about things, and you know, things that make us feel vulnerable, and like even to each other now, but because we've spent that time together, we feel like we can speak openly.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think if I just think about the early church, and I it's a bit difficult comparing early church to us, because to be honest, like, especially like living in London, no one really lives next door to each other. No one's gonna always be, you're not gonna see them in the shops every day or whatever. But yeah, just I think it does take a bit extra now, when like from me reading the Bible and being like, how would like Paul just write these letters, which are so challenging but also so just honest and stuff. It's because, like, you know, he spent time with them, and I think a lot of the time we, as you said, Dave, completely like the busyness of our lives, prioritizing time with people from church is sometimes hard, because you can, especially as a student, I found that you can either end up spending all your time with Christians and you're in this Christian bubble, and you're not actually like sharing the gospel, or like, you know, making disciples or like befriending other people who aren't like you. And then there's the other side where you kind of don't want to spend any time with Christians, and you kind of get away from me, or like, you know, you can have weird different opinions about Christians and stuff. So it's, yeah, it is difficult. And I felt this is a perfect time to talk about the whole pandemic that we're living in. And like, I mean, 2020 just made everything come to a halt. And I remember everyone being like, at the beginning of 2020, like, I see clarity. And I, like, you know, like, it did bring a lot of clarity, because it made us realize, like, what are we actually filling our lives with? What are we doing? Do you have any, like, suggestions about reducing that busyness and kind of slowing down the rhythm to be able to prioritize Jesus in your life and getting that, that like, discipleship and just quality time with friends, really, that you need.
If I can plug somebody else here. So there's an author, Christian author called John Mark Comer, who writes a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Yeah, which is a superb read. But he also, if you don't have time to read the whole book or books aren't for you, he does a brilliant podcast himself on about 25 minutes long on the topic, which hope maybe you can put the link on something afterwards. It's just fantastic. I listened to it a few weeks ago. And one of the things that he talks about is simply what would happen if you just cut a load of things out of your diary, just, you know, mercilessly just removed a whole load of things. Okay, I'm not talking about things of, you know, godly things or things of good rhythm and pattern. I'm not talking about cutting Bible. I'm not talking about cutting exercise or sleeping well or, you know, having time to have good quality conversation with people, but almost just like the random stuff that fills in the time, like the time we spend scrolling on social media, or like for me, like checking work emails outside of hours of work, or like just the other like little random bad habits that we can get into that we just don't necessarily need. The clue is in our routines. What is it that we routinely do? If we have 5 minutes spare, are we on our phones, or are we just doing something else that's completely unproductive? Or if we have 5 minutes spare, are we doing something like praying, or just having a moment to just to think and just have some fresh air, or like bringing someone to mind? You're like, oh, I haven't spoken to that person in a while. I wonder if I could send them an encouragement. You know, I think when we really stop and we really slow down, we realize how much junk is in our diaries. And I hope you alluded to this in terms of the pandemic. I think particularly towards the end of the first lockdown, a number of us, myself included, realized how many Zoom calls we had in the diary. It's like the whole day at work was spent on calls. And then for some reason, I'd booked a call every single evening. Yeah. I was like, what am I doing? I'm going to kill myself. This is completely...
Zoom planning was not good back in those days.
It was so bad. And so we've kind of realized in a bit of a hard hit to the face that the amount of things in our diary does not equal personal satisfaction.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't equal time that we have for then spending it on others and with others. So yeah, I think the pandemic's been such a big wake-up call for that.
I always try and find time for people, and I don't do enough in terms of reaching out to people. And Dave always says that, you know, if you're not discipling somebody, then you know, you're not growing. So I lack that, but I don't really find myself, like, especially now, I don't find myself in a busy position. I just feel tired. I don't feel busy. Do you know what I mean? I'm just tired all the time.
Yeah, just on the topic of COVID and just the mayhem of life right now, I don't necessarily just only want to use the word discipleship, but just friendships, Christian friendships. You need to be able to have honest conversations with people and not just like small talk every day, like, yeah, how are you, like on Zoom all the time. And in all honesty, I've seen Christians kind of go one way or the other, where they've either completely dropped off church and like I cannot take it anymore, because it's so draining to watch YouTube church, let's be real. But it's also like, how committed do you want to be, and like how committed are you to that growth? And then the other way, I've seen a lot of people actually come back to faith because they've realized, hey, life is actually a lot more than just going to church, like being a Christian. And people who haven't gone to church for ages and haven't really been part of a Christian community, now all of a sudden, like, realizing what it's all about, because they're finally growing by themselves. I mean, I know we just talked about COVID and how that changes stuff, but I mean, how have you guys found that, like, just maintaining relationships and deciding what to prioritize in a time where we kind of do actually need to cut stuff out, even though our lives are so much less full?
I mean, if I'm to be honest, and like with you guys and people listening, I've struggled over the COVID period, especially because a lot of my friends, you know, saying, oh, let's meet up or whatever. I mean, non-Christian friends just saying, let's meet up. And obviously I'm trying to do my best to sort of, you know, make sure I don't spread the virus or anything like that, and make sure everyone's safe. So I really struggled in terms of keeping in contact with friends. I don't know what it is about a phone. Like Dave said, I scroll a lot, but I don't use time productively on my phone. I don't use it to reach out to people. I don't use it to, like, when I get a message from, like, oh, I've got to reply to that message, unless it's important to me. So I think it's just about, I guess I just need to obviously pray about it and learn for myself. But I guess if I'm going to give myself a piece of advice now is that think how other people are feeling and think and put their thoughts first, you know, and think about what would that do for them if I reached out, and what would it do for me potentially, you know, reaching out to them and saying, do you want to grab a Zoom call? Like, just do you want to jump on Zoom? And I haven't done that, you know. I think it's probably because I live in a false sense of reality where I think it's just going to be all over tomorrow. And it's not. So, I've struggled with it, but I'm sort of praying into that and hope that I can reach out to a few guys, maybe a couple, just to get on a Zoom call or just meet up with one person. You know, you're allowed to exercise outside of the moment with one person. Or come away from Zoom and online stuff, because I know, like you said, it can be draining.
Yeah, I've experienced that a lot as well. And yeah, I think it's weird because people personalities are so different. Like, I think I'm quite different to my siblings in terms of the fact they're very happy to like not really reach out to many people, as I literally want to meet so many people, and I just like always want to meet with someone. And yeah, and it is weird actually, because is that reaching out to someone could actually be benefiting them so much more, and like it's maybe a bit of a sacrifice on your part of like maybe you're feeling tired or you don't particularly want to talk to them or whatever. But yeah, it can be very helpful for different people. So yeah, it is. I think it's been a good pruning process for like getting a lot of, yeah, I guess selfishness out, because I guess I want to talk to people I want to talk to, but then the people who want to talk to me who I don't want to talk to, I'm like, actually, am I giving people time and like making sure that I'm still maintaining relationships, not just with the people I kind of want to talk to all the time.
I think I've just was thinking there, we might have missed something obvious in that, which is, you know, are we doing the basics in terms of spending time with God in that? Because we can become so busy and distractible on phones and calls and or whatever else is then going on, that actually just the simple rhythms of, you know, sitting down, pulling out the Bible, pulling a journal out, scribbling some notes, some thoughts, some questions, having a real let's be honest, like an honest prayer time with God. I remember the back end of the first lockdown, I was doing some serious lamenting. I was hacked off at the state of the world and how I was feeling as a result. And I think it's absolutely fine to own those feelings. But then it's the first port of call. Have we prayed? Have we taken them to God, who clearly wants to help us with them? And then I think of having actual human connection is so important as well. And thinking about last year, when it was, you know, when appropriate, and when the legislation said that you could, you know, you can meet another person and have a really meaningful walk outside, socially distanced, and just get things off your chest, have a chat, have a laugh, have a pray.
Yeah.
And I think I'm looking back to 2020, the most meaningful and poignant moments of the year were those little moments when I could like snatch a quick catch up with someone or go for a walk and a coffee or whatever it may be. So, hey, we don't know what the year looks like, but you know, if we've got the basics, if we're talking to God and where we can talking to others, you know, how much of life's little niggles would be ironed out if we were just doing those two simple things? Or that's what I'm hoping for this year.
For people who, so yeah, they haven't experienced discipleship, but they really want to. They'd love to have someone just to be checking up on them or just encouraging them in their faith. What would you suggest to those people? I would say pray about it, pray for someone. But after that, what do they do?
I think there's something about being bold in there as well. I think if, you know, you meet a Christian who is 10 years or so down the track from you, maybe not even that, even 6 or 7, just with a bit more life experience and a bit more experience of faith, and you really admire that person, then be bold and say, would you mind, could we have a chat every few weeks? Would you have time, even just an hour, just a chat? And I've got some questions or whatever that might be. I think that would be the case. But then also, I think if any of us are in the position where we could offer that in return to others, then, you know, by all means, pray for yourself, but then be the answer to someone else's prayer.
Yeah, that's so good.
You know, and you might think, oh, I'm only like in my late teens, or I'm a student, I can't do that. I guarantee there is a kid in your church at some point who is so bored of homeschool and just wants to talk to somebody else and has questions about life and faith. I guarantee it'll take you 10 minutes to find someone.
Yeah.
You know, and as Ben said, you know, do the right things and have a good conversation with their parents or whatever else. But I think just, and I'm not saying overload it, we don't all need to be signing up for like 12 people at a time. Like find one person or maybe two people and see how you can change their day, week, month. I think it could be so impactful.
Yeah. And like, just quickly, I think especially with those people who are like young teenagers or whatever, or maybe end of primary school or whatever. I mean, to be honest, who knows how young they're going to be. But yeah, you don't know how much fruit that could bear in their whole life. Like your example of you living out your life, just being kind to them and being generous with your time, how much that could have an impact on their future. Even say they weren't a Christian for ages and then they remembered, hey, who is that person who spent that time with me when I was younger, when I didn't have, my parents didn't have enough time or whatever, you know, like that, you don't know how much that could do. So that is definitely something to think about for reaching out to other people. I really like that.
My experience with having somebody reach out to me, I think can be rare. So don't be disheartened if someone doesn't reach out to you. But as a Christian and as someone who's trying to pursue holiness, be bold for 10 seconds, 20 seconds and reach out to someone who can help you in your journey, and who you can learn off, and you know, potentially just even read scripture with and just learn off them. Yeah, I think it'd be really beneficial to anyone who's listening just to reach out, and if they say no, they say no. I'm, what have you got to lose?
Exactly. That's very good advice, because I definitely know for myself, even though I'm like quite a, I'm not exactly a shy person, but I definitely find that really hard of like being like, oh, will this person want to like talk to me or like pour into me or whatever. So definitely would advise just do it. Just go and ask that question. I do want to also just mention, like, it can be easy to kind of, I don't know, get a bit salty, really. Like when you read Acts, you read the Bible and you're like, oh, these people are so amazing. But realistically, I mean, they're probably all very, very sinful people just like us. And so it probably does look really great, but then there's probably a lot of stuff which the early church was not doing well, which we are doing so much better than them. And like, yeah, I would just encourage people not to be bitter about it and kind of harbor up bitterness of like, no one asked me to be... no one wants to disciple me, or like, because I've been there of those times of like, why doesn't no one do this, like, for me. But I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but I definitely know a lot of people, speaking to a lot of people, you can get very bitter very quickly about
it. You have to make that effort to want to be more like Christ. Yeah. Does that make sense?
There's a sort of formal ask to be disciple or to disciple someone. I agree with that. But I think the starting point from that is you make disciples by setting the example from the off. And I think that's it. As Christians, when we are following Jesus and we are, you know, praying to him every day and really hoping for the best and really hoping that people would believe him, in him and know him, that kind of excitement and the passion that we get for it becomes contagious. You know, and the people around us will they're encouraged, they want to become more like Jesus because of the example of that you can set. And I just know the people who've always, you know, shouted and screamed Jesus to me haven't been the people who have been necessarily ever talking, but the people that just show it in their day-to-day actions.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, there's then definitely the role for, oh yeah, let's commit and let's do these sessions together, or let's have a regular catch-up or whatever else. But actually the most important thing is just living it out day by day. I think that's how Jesus primarily taught his disciples. It wasn't in the messages that he preached. It was by osmosis. They just became like him because they spent time with him.
Yeah.
But we have to be more like him if others ever are going to be.
Like, I've always, I think the things that have made me want to follow Jesus is always like someone radiating just kindness and love and joy or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I can see God in them, and I know that I want to pursue that more. Okay, so just as we're wrapping up, thank you so much, guys. I really enjoyed this. It kind of took a different turn, but I'm like, I'm glad, you know? Either one piece of advice you wish you had before just like finding out what discipleship was, or just advice about life or anything.
This could be a hard one to hear, because I would have not taken this well if someone had said this to me. But I look back maybe 10 years ago, maybe even not, maybe like 8 years ago when I was first at university, and you get to a point where you think you know everything and you think you have all the answers. I'm thinking of like 19-year-old me. I really did think I had all the answers. And I think about the advice that I would have given myself now, and oh man, this is so many things. So I think the advice is, and I look ahead of me, I look to people in their late 30s who are like, you know, married with kids and, you know, have stressful jobs and whatever else. I'm thinking, wow, how do they balance all of those things and do faith at the same time? And I think people down the track, they're mostly right, which is a painful to hear. Like, they can make mistakes, but most of the time they're right. And we can learn from them. So I think there's always a question of, will we be humble enough to admit that we're not enough and allow somebody further down the track to speak into our lives? Hey, hands up in the air, that's a challenge for me. Am I humble enough to allow, you know, people in their 30s, 40s, 50s to look into my life and to give me some challenges? Yeah, give me some encouragement, great, but give me some challenges.
Yeah.
And am I humble enough to say, yeah, okay, I'll take that on board. Thank you.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you meet up with somebody, or you meet up with a group of people and it's not honest and as open as you would like it to be, or it's not going as well as you'd have hoped, or you wish it was something different, then I would say be the first to open up and be the first to be vulnerable and authentic. And I know that's obviously hard, hard to hear, and it's hard to do that for sure, but I can almost guarantee as soon as you are, the other person will also open up and be honest and vulnerable and authentic, and just it will be a good experience. And I think in that moment as well, when you take that step, God will give you the confidence for sure.
That's so encouraging. Oh, thank you guys so much for having this conversation with me, because I think it's just the beginning of a bunch of conversations which need to happen within the church and just people to people, basically. So I'm really glad that you guys got to start us off on that. And yeah, I hope that everyone listening got to learn something from that and was encouraged and is going to go and like pray about what discipleship journeys they're going to go on or whatever. And everyone, I hope you're all having an awesome week. And whenever I release another podcast, I hope that you come back and listen. You can follow the Hopecast on Instagram. That's the.hopecast. on Instagram if you want to be up to date with life.
But don't spend too much time on Instagram, because
exactly that, put a timer on your app. If you have an iPhone, put a timer on that and get off it when it's time. Okay. Right, thanks so much guys. All right, I'll stop. Bye.
Oh, thank you. You know, man.